Funkhouse, ladies and gentlemen. It is a very sullen day after a tough end to the week, and we'd like to give a shout out to Mr. Nick Chubb and wish him well in his recovery. And we're very, very down about it, very upset, and there's nothing more that we'd like to do to dedicate this show to him and that gruesome knee injury. And you know, anybody that had him on a fantasy team, It's a tough break. I don't know if we're going to get through this one, but, you know, week two, it's a rough one. So, otherwise, we still got a great show lined up, and we're going to crank the volume back up. You know, we had to give a little tribute there.
Yeah, we are.
But, got my guy, Double Jerry, in the house, as always. Jerry, how's it going tonight?
It's going good. Besides the news of Chubb, if you had him, you spent all your money on Ford, tried to recover from that, or got him late in drafts, or picked him up early as a crutch. But it was a wild week, too. A lot more points scored. A lot of exciting things to talk about.
And you tried to tell him, Jerry. You know, I remember on the show several episodes into the summer, you were kind of beating that drum on Jerry Ford. How fitting of a name. So, hopefully some of our listeners listened. I wasn't smart enough to. I had to drop the bag on him today and Fab. But I know you were smart enough. You had him on a few leagues.
Yeah, I was able to get – I drafted him as a rookie in a dynasty league, and he's definitely a person we talked about on our gold mines and landmines. I said to keep close attention to him. Definitely grab him if you're a Chubb guy. Cause if anything was to happen – I mean, he's going to be one of the best recovery guys in the league, I think. He could be a sneaky league winner, some are thinking. I don't know if I truly believe that, but he's a great fill-in guy for a really bad situation. They did sign Kareem Hunt today, so
he's
going to slowly get moved back into that offense too. So it's going to be really interesting.
Absolutely. And I'm a big Chubb guy. Love a good Chubb, whether it's Nick, whether it's Bradley. Bradley finally had a nice breakout game for Miami, and that was sans Jalen Phillips, which was surprising. So, all Chubbs aside, we got the boss in the building. Had to get our first guest, Mr. Just Right. Mikey, how's it going tonight?
Going well, gentlemen. Thank you for having me on. Appreciate it. Always enjoy stepping outside of my comfort zone a little bit to talk some fantasy football with you guys. So.
Now,
yeah, it's week,
you say,
week three.
Stepping outside of your comfort zone, but you're sitting at 2-0, atop the league, coming off a championship.
Yeah,
defending champ. The two guys sitting across from you here are the very few in the league, 0-2, sitting bottom of the standings. So tough start for the Funkhouse, but getting right back on track, Mikey.
Yeah, Jerry, I wish I could say I was truly happy with my team. I really did not feel great coming out of the draft at all. You know, fantasy's a lot of it's a lot of luck, and that's kind of where I'm standing at right now. It's getting to that point in the season though where, you know, I'm not happy with anything. I can't sit still for very long, so starting to get that itch, change things up. You never know, you guys might be getting some calls soon from me.
Well, I know we got a boatload of emails, so we'll see if we can get some of those. And the inbox is just torn apart at the bottom from the mass inside of it. So we'll see if we can get to a few of those today. But, 0-2 is not ideal, Jerry. And we're both sitting there. And this was a league that is very important to everybody. It's high up on the kind of the pecking order as ones you want to really pay attention to. Obviously, you shouldn't get in the league if you're not going to pay attention, but there's always a select two or three of the seven that I'm in that I, you know, really, really want to win again. And not a great start. We got a lot of work to do, and neither of us really care much for our teams. I like mine on paper. They just, nobody performs. It's going to be a tough season, but I think we're both up to the challenge. And you see what Mikey did last year starting. Was it 0-5 or 0-6? And then jumping 0-5. Back.
0-5.
Almost snaking a first-round bye into the playoffs. And
yeah,
it was a battle the whole way through. You know, came through me and yourself as well in the finals. And we'll see who can come out on top this year. So don't want to focus all our energy on Dub League, but that is the one that all three of us are in, and very important one. So coming off a good week for some scores, some tough injuries. We all know the obvious ones. And Jerry, why don't you start, hit us with the recap so we can take a little look back on week two.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the studs and duds of week two. At QB, it's getting weird again. You know, we don't have the big names up top of the list. We have guys like Kirk Cousins leading the pack. He had 37 fantasy points, 364 yards, 4 touchdowns. Somehow the Vikings still 0-2. Daniel Jones had a big game after going down 60-0 in the first 6 quarters of the Giants there. He ended up with over 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. Russ Wilson had a big game, 32 fantasy points, over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. They blew that game. Duds for quarterback. Justin Fields struggling. Doesn't seem to run the ball anymore. That's the biggest concern here. 4 rushes for 3 yards. He did get a touchdown in his rushes, which is surprising, but did they coach the Justin Fields out of Fields? It's kind of scary right now for Fields owners. He's not the passing guy they're wanting him to be, and they're taking away his biggest strength. Trevor Lawrence, tough week for him. No touchdowns. He was missing guys in the end zone all day. He just looked like he was a bit off all day. Tua, surprisingly low game for him. He only had 14 points. He had 1 touchdown. 250 passing yards. It wasn't a bad day at all, but it wasn't the boom we see in a week one. Most hurt, stole a couple TDs that game. Nothing to worry about there. Tua's going to have big games aplenty. Big names on running backs. Brian Robinson, another big day, 28 points, 2 touchdowns on the day. Kyren Williams is taking over the Rams. Probably the biggest, one of the bigger waiver ads of the week now. We got news that Cam Akers is gone, going to the Vikings. So back-to-back games, big for Kyren. I think he's number 2 on the year. Saquon, big game. Unfortunately, now we know he's dealing with the ankle injury. He's out this week. Swift had a monster game, included 2 scores. That could muddy up that backfield a little bit. You know, Gainwell seemed to be the guy. And Swift comes in, has this big game. Now we're going to see probably a lot of splits there. Josh Jacobs, landmine. I told you last year was a fluke. I hope you guys listened. He has 46 rushing yards on the year, which included minus 2 rushing yards last week.
Yeah, Jacobs averaged.
I don't think you're going to get the value where you drafted him.
Yeah.
He had negative 2 yards
last week. He averaged negative 0.2 yards per carry last week, which I think is incredible and something that you'd expect out of Cam Akers, who, spoiler alert, is a brand new Minnesota Viking.
Right. Yes. The Rams must have felt the same way we did about him, and they just could not get rid of him fast enough. Miles Sanders, weekday, 14 attempts, and he was only able to muster 48 yards. That was kind of a sloppy game altogether, that Carolina-New Orleans game. Najee Harris, I don't even know if I could roster Najee at this point. He looks stuck in mud. Warren looks 100 times better at the position. I don't know why the Steelers aren't just giving him the ball every time. It seems like every time he's in, he makes a big play. Get more Warren out there. Studs, baggy sleeves at wide receiver. Huge game. Vintage, number 1 on the week, 8 for 111 and 2 tots. Puka Nacua, who? My God, fantasy superstar here. Does it again, puts up 30 points without scoring a touchdown. It's insane. He had 20 targets this week. 20 targets. Insane. Mike Evans, another big week. He's laughing in all our faces once again. T. Higgins, big 2 score day. He after that dud the first week, big 30 point week. Burrow is the real concern there. We'll talk more about him. Chase, another dud. Very concerning. He has 10 catches for 70 yards over 2 weeks. So, Noah's right. Yeah, it's ugly. Ayuk, he didn't have a big game. He had 3 for 43 after his huge first week. He's kind of got some injuries he's dealing with, too. Tight end, Hawkinson was the big guy. Hunter Henry had a big game. Duds at tight end. Kittle, real slow game for him this week. Only had 3 for 30. Kelsey had, he did have a touchdown that saved his day. But other than that, he was only 4 for 26. That's maybe the lowest stat line I've ever seen for Kelsey. Obviously, nothing to worry about there, I don't think. I mean, you're starting him no matter what. He'll be fine. He'll have his big games. And it's just they're still figuring it out a little bit. Andy Reid will get that going. But overall, big scoring week in all the leagues I was in. Big points. I ended up going 3-1. And the only game I lost was by a point. So a very, very fun week. Hoping to see more of that this week.
Very nice. Yeah, so where did I go? I did better than I thought. I thought it was going to be another really tough week. I mean, it was, but I think I went 3-4. 3-4. Not a good week. And lost Chubb in 2 leagues. So the one I dropped the bag on Ford, like I said, which might save it. Also picked up Kareem Hunt. The other one, Crook League, I feel like I'm dead in the water already. It's real bad. But the thing about Kelsey is Andy Reid never hurries his guys back from injury, so he still only played, you know, very limited snaps. He played the same amount of snaps as Noah Gray, so that'll obviously improve going forward. Not too worried about that. It's just how Andy Reid operates, and yeah. It's probably for a good thing, seeing as how serious that knee could have been for Kelsey. So, yeah, some huge games, some old guys really making us look dumb, like Baggy and Evans. I thought that was very interesting, and they both look incredible. So they'll be talked about quite a bit over this episode. Mike, do you have any thoughts on week two?
I just want to echo what Jerry said about my stairway there with Jalen Warren. Najee looks like he's stuck in mud, fumbled on a two-point conversion, unnecessary reach at the goal line in that slop fest of a game Monday night. Personally, as a Steelers fan, I want to see Warren get more run. I also have him on my roster, so it's a little bit selfish there, but I targeted him in the draft, reached for him a little bit because I kind of figured this was coming.
Wait, Mike. You were targeting. Did you just say you were targeting?
I was. Out of season. Out of season.
Hope you weren't using bass hooks.
Bass hooks and all. Yep. Yep. You don't sell those here, do you, by any chance?
Not until mid-June. Sorry. Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I'll echo that with Naj. He looks horrible. It's not good. I have a couple Warren shares. I'll be honest with you. I don't think Warren looks that much better. It's just that offense is not looking as advertised in the preseason. But if you want to dig into the Stees, make sure you tune in to The Stairway, brand new pod with Mikey and Bad News Bri on the Living Room Champs Network. So be sure to tune into that. It's a great listen. All right. So, we will get into the Fantasy Funkhouse Stock Exchange. So, a lot of topics here. I got quite a few written down. We're not going to get to all of them, but some standouts, and I'm sure we'll have a little crossover here. So, the two big pickups this week is Jerome Ford and Kyren Williams. So, I want to hear your thoughts on those guys, and which one would you prefer? Which one would you have prioritized? And this was an email that came in from a longtime friend of the show, Crazy Legs Johnson, and he wanted me to describe Kyren Williams as Kirkland brand Austin Eckler. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that's disrespectful to Eckler? And do you prefer Kirkland brand products over Sam's Choice? And also, where do you like him versus Jerry Ford? Mikey, why don't you go ahead and jump in here?
Well, I think you got to go Ford if you're putting him head to head. I'd certainly rather have him. I know I tried to blow all my wad on the Fab on Ford this morning. Unfortunately, couldn't land him. Didn't have enough cash in the bank to do it. You know the Browns like running the ball. Now, I don't know if you're going to see the performance that he had. The Steelers can't stop the run, so I don't know if that's going to be indicative of what you're going to see from him the rest of the season. But he looked the part. I'll say that much. If Jerry was calling him out in the preseason, he was right to do so, because you know they're going to want to run it. Watson doesn't look great, to be honest. I think they're going to lean on him a little bit more. Kyren, honestly, you might be walking on thin ice with him. I mean, Stafford is one injury away from that offense just falling apart. I mean, we saw what happened last year when he was out, and Kyren didn't do much, honestly, with his opportunities when he was out last year. So I'll take Ford all day.
Yeah, I think I agree. Between those two, I like Ford just because we've seen how much the Browns offense loves to run the ball. It's always been a feature, and I think that's why they went out and got Ford, because they knew he was, you know, going to be the next guy in line. So I do like, I guess I'm more just surprised by the whole Rams offense in whole. So he's more of a surprise to me that he's, you know, number two running back on the season so far. I could definitely see that cooling off some, where Ford could be heating up. So I definitely like him in that head to head as well.
Yeah, hopefully he's built Ford tough for the rest of the year, because I know a lot of people cashed in on him, and, you know, they're really going to count on him to fill that hole that, you know, big chub left. So I'm with you guys. I'm Ford over Kyren. I think Kyren is what they would just call a jag, J-A-G, just a guy. He's a guy in an opportunity there, and really nothing special athletically. I think Ford's pretty electric, to tell you the truth, and he can catch the ball very well. Kyren can, too, but... not super impressed with Kyren. He'll have some big games, though. I think there's no doubt about it. The Rams are playing well, like you guys said. So I'm with you right there. And Chris, hopefully that answers your question. Weber, I noticed, had number one overall priority and took Kyren over Ford. Questionable. We'll see if it works out. Another one I had here real quick. David Montgomery is going to be out for 2 to 4 weeks, supposedly, with a thigh bruise. I think it's a bone bruise, so it sounds like a nice deep one, real bad one. So I guess my question is, do you think Gibbs will get anywhere near a full workload? Do you think it'll be the same, or is Craig Reynolds going to come in here and, again, he's a jag, just be the thumper, and Gibbs will stay in space and soak up the same amount of touches and the same type that he has over the first 2 weeks?
I think Gibbs is going to see a large uptick. He's not going to see the level that Montgomery got. He was seeing some elite usage there up until his injury. But I still like Gibbs a lot. I don't think we'll be too interrupted by the jag on the team there. But he'll definitely he'll take some carries away, and possibly some goal line carries, which is the concern, obviously.
Yeah,
I still like Gibbs.
I agree with you there, Jerry. Gibbs looks really good. Yeah, I don't think you spend a draft pick quite that high on a guy with that kind of pedigree, not have plans to use him fully, especially in a spot like this. I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about Craig Reynolds. I just know that his name sounds like a jag, just a guy you're not going to expect to break out. I mean, come on, it's plain Jane name. You're gonna use Jahmyr Gibbs. He's looked good so far. Flea Market Montgomery looked really good, honestly, in the touches that he had too. I mean, he was getting 5, 6, 7 yards to carry on that LRC Lions offense. But Craig Reynolds, come on. I mean, he might be good for, you know, 30 yards on, you know, 8 carries or something. Like, I don't want to demean the guy or anything, but come on, Craig Reynolds just doesn't sound successful.
I wonder if there's any relation to John Reynolds, his teammate. That's what I'm wondering. A lot of these Reynolds boys.
Josh. They're half brothers.
Yeah, Josh. But the joke is that Jerry called him John last year because he didn't know. He was so far down in the pecking order, and then he kind of exploded, similar to how he is already.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he's actually, Josh yeah. Reynolds is sitting on some free agent list still in some leagues. He's a good player, though.
Speaking of names, I just want to point out real quick. I was looking up actually some information on former President Gerald Ford. I was looking for maybe a quip or something. He was born, his real name was Leslie King. I just got to get that out there.
What?
He said, you know what? That's wow. Yeah. Just had to change that name. Enough.
Yeah, that's not a statesman's Craig Reynolds, name.
Yeah, Craig should maybe look into changing that name something more stately.
Yeah, maybe Jameer. That might be the play there. Speaking of
if
names,
it was Dennis Reynolds, I'd feel much better.
Oh man. Yeah. Or even Frank. guy I work with today, we were talking shop about fantasy. Two sidebar stories is a good one. He's a huge Chubb guy. Likes Chubb more than anybody I've ever met. Drafts him every year. Had him in two or three leagues this year. And I was going to text him Monday night and be like, hey, if you need a personal day, I understand. You know, no big deal. But he was devastated, obviously, like we all were. But he said he drove in and the security guard at the front gate of the work site kind of leaned over and he's like, hey, I'm really sorry for your loss. You know, I knew you I knew you really cared. And, you know, my condolences to you and Nick Chubb. So I thought that was really, really funny. And second That's one, perfect. He was telling me, we were talking about crazy names and stuff like that. And he's like, do you know what Tua's middle name is? I said, no, I have no idea. I said, I know his first name is like this long. It's like 21 letters or, right. you know, something crazy. And he's like, guess what his middle name is? I was like, I don't know, something crazy, Hawaiian or Samoan. He said, no, it's Donnie. I haven't fact checked him on that, but if that's true, that's incredible. I think that is so funny. I might have to start calling him something like that.
Definitely going to be Donnie from now on.
Oh, man. I got to do some fact checking. So we'll stick with quarterbacks here. And a guy that I think a few of us are pretty worried about, Trevor Lawrence. You guys buying Lawrence on the low? You trying to sell him? What do you think here?
Yeah, I took him in the second round of our draft, which is a two quarterback league, super flex, I should say, and counting on him to be my QB1, and it hasn't worked out so well so far. Like I said earlier, he was a dud of last week. He had no touchdowns, but he just looked like he was a yard off of everything. I think he's going to figure it out. He's got weapons. They've all looked good. It's just, he just couldn't hit anyone last week. It just looked like an off day. I don't think the offense was playing that bad. They just weren't on the same page, and I think they'll figure it out. So I'm still buying in.
I was going to say, Jerry, if you're selling, I'm interested. We can start negotiations live on air. I was in our draft. I think I picked right before you. So if you took him in the second round, I was definitely praying he got back around to me, if not thinking about taking him in that QB run there at the beginning of the first round. I think I had the seventh overall pick. I'm still buying T-Law.
Yeah.
There's a lot of QB play leaves a lot to be desired out there right now, to be honest with you. That's become apparent playing in this super flex league. I wish I had someone with a little bit of ceiling at T-Law. I think he's also a couple Zay Jones toes away from a couple more touchdown passes.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah.
So he could, he should get some more help from his teammates. Looks like they got Kirk involved a little bit more last week. I'm not worried about T-Law. Jerry, if he ever ends up on the block, give me a holler because I could use some help at that position.
Yeah, I'm with you guys.
I sure could too.
I'm going to stand true. I didn't get him in any league. I was very, very high on him, extremely high on him. We did a couple mocks in the QB rankings, and I just never could end up with him. Would have loved to, but I keep the faith. Ridley went out for the game for a little bit, so I'm sure that had something to do with it. He's got a great array of pass catchers there, and, you know, obviously ETN coming out of the backfield. So I am, you know, fully invested in Lawrence and would have no issues, you know, keep hitting that drum weekly going forward. It's going to pop pretty soon here. So I will say with Lawrence,
right,
of all the poor QB play, he's kind of the one that doesn't really have an excuse, because second year with Peterson, everyone expected a jump. He got an alpha receiver in the offseason. But you see guys like Burrow, obviously extremely hobbled. It looks nothing like the Joe Burrow that we know and love. Justin Fields is just sucks. You know, I think we've established that. So there's his excuse. But there's a lot of QB play that's really poor. I think Lawrence needs to pick it up, because there's really no excuse. And it might be a mental thing right now. We'll see what happens. So a couple running backs here I want to get into. Go ahead, Jerry. You want to jump in with some? Go ahead.
There's one I really want to talk about here. Wide receiver, Puka Nacua. I mean, he's number two on the season. He's getting targeted like we've never seen before. He's getting targeted like, you know, Cooper Kupp was Triple Crown year. Are we in? Is he here to stay playing like this? Is it a drastic drop off if Kupp returns? What do we think here? Are we in for a top 10 wide receiver season? Is he the league winner that people got off waivers this week or the past week? Or is he a flash in the pan?
I think Puka's here to stay, to be honest with you. He looks great. He's earning those targets. He's not just getting them, in my opinion. And thing to watch out for, obviously keep an eye on Cooper Kupp, because he is in that kind of role. And Tutu Atwell playing well is, you know, alongside him there. I don't think Stafford's going to be able to maintain all three of those guys. And you know Kupp is going to manage to get the majority of those targets once he gets back in. So until Kupp's back, I fire up Nacua as a borderline one. Obviously, he's been incredible throughout. We'll see if that can continue. But then, you know, just be a little tentative when Cooper Kupp is back and kind of see how that shakes out. And my cat's going crazy. See how that shakes out with the targets. And, I think he's here to stay for the most part, though.
Koopa and Puka, huh? I don't know if there's enough room for both of them there once he comes back. You know what? If you have him, feel good about it. You got one of the big waiver pickups of the year for sure. But do you want to play him down a stretch? Do you want to rely on him for a full 16-game slate, including your playoffs? I don't know. That rookie wall, I think, will come along eventually. NFL is a whole different beast. I don't know if you can trust him deep into the season, but you can ride him. Ride him while he's hot, sure.
Did either of you get any stock in him this week?
I did not.
Or past week?
I did not. Nope.
I was able to snag him last week. In the sanctuary, which I already have a really stacked wide receiver core, but I couldn't pass up if I could get him. I had to throw him on the squad. So
I think
he got me a win here. He helped me get a win this week, having a really tough matchup, putting up 29 points. So I'm excited for him. I hope he's here to stay. I'm optimistic. Like you said, House, that he has earned his, he's running good routes out there. He's getting wide open. He's beating guys. He's catching the ball every time it's thrown to him. So
yeah,
QBs like guys like that. So
I think I think he's a guy where, you know, this is kind of a buy sell trade segment. So you're not going to get that much in trade value, in my opinion, because of the looming return of Cooper Kupp. So you ride him out while you can. And like Mike, you said, you see what happened. Maybe it doesn't, you know, translate into 16, 17 games of that kind of production, but you get what you can. He was free. You know, he's basically free in drafts or, you know, if you paid fab for him, it's still fab. It's not like you spent a crazy draft pick on him. So enjoy it while you can and see how it keeps rolling.
Play the hot hand.
Yeah. No doubt. So I got a couple running backs here that I want you guys to kind of chat about and rank. A guy that you warned me about, Jerry, but I was too stubborn. Damian Pierce was my gold mine and your landmine. We got Al Madison, who has just been horrendous so far. And then we got a guy who is the number two running back. Number three running back overall right now. Brian Robinson out of the Washington Bears. So what do you guys think about those three? Which one do you like more? I happen to have a few shares of B-Rob, and he looks good. I'm very hesitant to start him, but God, he looks really good, really good. So anxious to know your thoughts. Jerry, why don't you start us off?
Yeah, out of those three, I definitely like B-Rob the most. He is the guy there. Gibson looks terrible. Unfortunately, that pains me to say, Gippy looks terrible. But he does. I like Brian Robinson a lot. He had a huge game this week, obviously. I think he's a top five running back right now after his week last week. Obviously, we know it's only 2 weeks in. Madison has looked very sluggish in his start here. His chance to finally be the guy, it's not looking so well. They just brought in Cam Akers. I'm bailing out on Madison if I can. I don't think you're going to be able to expect much now because they're going to start working in Akers too. And who was the third guy?
Pierce.
Oh, Damian Pierce. Yeah. I like him more than Madison now just because of the situation. But I'm still not thrilled with him either. I like Robinson quite a bit more than those other two guys currently.
I'm right there with you, Jerry. Medicine, as I like to call him, Alexander Medicine. Anytime that you have a guy that played second fiddle to a guy like Dalvin Cook in his prime, you know, you show flashes and then you rely on him to be the guy. You know, I'm not buying it. I need to see proof in the pudding. He can handle the workload. I think he had a decent week one, right? But the eye test just isn't there. Going out and getting Cam Akers, like you alluded to, Jerry, is not a vote of confidence at all and muddies that situation. You got Chandler there as well, still in the mix. He'll get a couple carries. You got to think. Pierce, yeah, the wheels fell off him last year after a good start. So that offense as a whole, I think you're going to see it. You're going to see him throw it a little bit more. They've been having some success through the air. Bobby Trees, Tank Dell now showing up on the score sheet a little bit. He's another good waiver pickup if he's still available in your leagues. And Robinson, I'll be honest, I was really hoping he would fall to me in a draft. Maddie, I think you snatched him up.
Yeah.
I didn't take a running back until very late. He passes the eye test for me. He's a bigger guy, tough runner. You know, sometimes the things that just stare you right in the face tells you all you need to know about a guy. He was shot in the leg, what, 2-3 times last year, bounced back, still looked very, very strong. Yeah, he passes the eye test and the smell test. I'm all over B-Rob. And Maddie, if you're looking to sell, again, I'm interested because – I believe in Brian Robinson for sure for the Hogs.
Yeah, I might take a step into your private, Mike. We'll see where we're at in a week or two, but that's not out of the realm of possibilities there. I do want to share one of the funniest memes that I've seen in a long time. And Jerry, I think I sent it to our group chat with Nate and Weber. And it was the scene from Moneyball where Jonah Hill is explaining to Brad Pitt some analytic-based, I guess, schemes that he has drawn up for why he wants to build the roster, you know, like they did for the Oakland A's. So he's standing at the dry erase board. And it says, Billy, this is Alexander Madison. He's been one of the top handcuffs in fantasy football's entire career and was a must-start when Dalvin Cook was out. He's now the lead back with virtually no competition for touches. His defect is that he sucks. And I think that's just so well said. I know we had a long segment last year dedicated to Al Madison, Jerry, and we were really wondering if it was for real or not because Dalv went out for a period of time. I think it was last year, it was the year before, I can't remember. But we looked back at his stats and it was like, wow, these are much better than I really remembered. And you see him play now, and you want to talk about eye test. Jesus Christ, does he look bad. The Vikings line isn't great either. Darisaw has been banged up. You know, they've had a few guys missing, but man, I don't know. That run game could be so complimentary to the likes of Jefferson and Addison and Hawkinson and Osborne. I don't know. And you said they brought Akers and Jerry. That'll tell you how they feel about Madison. They both look fairly similar at this point.
They're already fed up.
Yeah, so a lot of people really liked Madison. He didn't go super high in the draft. I got him in one league. I'm thinking about bailing. I don't necessarily going to cut him because it's a 12-team league and things could get turned around, but there's no way I could have confidence starting him, and it would be only in an as-needed position, you know, once bye weeks come in. So definitely down on Madison. Mikey, I wanted to get your take, obviously yours as well, Jerry, on a guy that I really like, and I think you had an eye for as well, Roschon Johnson.
Yeah, he only had a few carries last week. Was it 3 or 4? But he averaged over 10 yards, I think, or close to 10 yards a carry. He didn't get the targets out of the backfield. You know what? I got him because I'm so thin at running back. I don't think he's got a lot of competition. Herbert had a few good games last year, but you could easily see that balance of power shifting in a Chicago's backfield who likes to run it. But Fields is just kind of so unpredictable. He's going to take off and run, kind of break the script a little bit a lot of the time. You know what? If Roschon's available in your league, you need a running back, take a shot. I mean, here's a guy who could become the workhorse of that backfield. It's not like they have a ton invested into Khalil Herbert. But Roschon, where's he from? Texas, I want to say.
Yeah.
Roschon, is it Roschon or Roschon? I'm not even sure.
I know it was Roschon, and he played with Bijan.
Yeah. Yeah. So Robinson and Johnson combination there. He can catch. He can run. To me, so far, he's passing the eye test. He looks like the better running back. So if he's available, take a shot. I don't know how confident I feel in that offense as a whole. They might be playing from behind us, so maybe you'll get some garbage time dump offs from him if he takes over that role, which he's already gotten a few of those, especially in week one.
Yeah, I'm. Go ahead, Jerry.
He has more points than Khalil Herbert on the year because of his receptions. I think he had 6 receptions that week one. Really helped boost him up. Herbert only 16 for 62 on the year.
Yeah,
rough.
Not good.
Yeah, neither of them are getting a lot of carries, though. I think that's a concern. Neither of them are just very heavily involved. But he's clearly surpassed, who's the other guy, Dunt?
Foreman.
Foreman they have here. I think he was inactive last week. So that's a good sign for him.
Yeah, I am actually very confident that Roschon is going to take over as this lead back in, I don't know, within the span of 3 to 4 weeks, in my opinion. And I like Khalil Herbert. I think he's a pretty good runner, but he has not looked good. And Roschon has looked pretty explosive. He can do it all. He's a fairly bigger guy, catches the ball well. He's very fluid. So I like him, and I got him in a couple leagues. Not too many. I got him in 2 leagues. And I'm just going to bide my time and sit back and wait. And I think he's a nice lottery ticket and a great last few round pick of your draft. So I'm confident, and we'll see. I mean, the offense isn't exciting to start with. So you got to realize that upside is capped by Fields' inability to play professional football, but still, I think Roschon's a really talented guy. Jerry,
that's the biggest downfall of him.
Yeah,
the team.
Yeah,
that he's on.
What else you got for us in the stock exchange, Jerry?
How about this guy, wide receiver, currently number 10 wide receiver on the year, struggled last season heavily for those who invested. He dropped down the boards, but he looks really good this year so far. Michael Pittman, you buying or selling him on the year?
I like Pittman quite a bit. That's no secret. We talked about him last week as the epitome of a post-hype sleeper. And I think he's got a lot of ability. He's not like crazy athletic, ball skills as well, but I think he gets the job done and he pops off the page for me. It's all going to be about Richardson here, and he looked good with those short to intermediate throws, and that's where Pittman thrives. And, you know, if they can keep feeding, you know, a couple screens to him a week, I think he could really turn it into something, and I'd be peppering that guy with targets. It doesn't look to me like Alec Pierce remembers how to get open. Now, he had showed a lot last year, and he had a big regression, in my opinion, so far this season. So he's really struggling. There are other pass catchers. I mean, I think Kyle Grant's in their tight end is really their second leading receiver at this point. And they lost Paris Campbell. They got the rookie Josh Downs, which I think, it, you know, after a while, he could emerge as a nice slot option. He could be real slotty for them. But I think Pittman's the guy. And again, Richardson with his arm talent, I don't think they're going to, excuse me, with his running talent, they're not going to throw 40 times a game. That's just not how they're going to play football. But I think if Pittman can get 7 to 8, even 9 targets a game, I think he could do quite a bit with them. He's a fairly efficient player outside of last year. So I'm in on Pittman. I wish I would have got more of him. And I don't know if I'd be willing to bet he's fairly expensive on the trade block like right now. So maybe hoping for a down game or so and see if I can buy on the low.
Yeah, I wouldn't. If you have a strong core already, I might not go out of my way to get them just because that offense, I'm not sure what it's going to turn into, you know, as the year goes along there with Richardson. I think you could feel pretty good, though, with Minshew at the helm, even if Richardson happens to go out. For some reason, I wanted to talk about Pittman's health, but looking at his box scores here for the last couple of years, he played 16-17 year before that. He had 141 targets last year, 99 catches, didn't meet 1,000 yards, but he did the year before. So the proof's in the pudding there with Pittman, obviously a high pedigree guy. I don't think he's going to have much competition for targets. You don't have to worry about Down syndrome sneaking in there, I don't believe. The question again with him is the team. Number 10 overall, though, you said so far this year, right, Jerry? I mean, if you got him on your team, he's a solid wide receiver too, borderline one, honestly.
Yeah, where he was taken off draft boards, he's at absolute steal right now.
Yep.
And I think he's really one of the only guys that Richardson's looking to that he can trust. You know, like I agree, House. I don't know what happened to Pierce. He hasn't shown anything this year. We thought we had a new crispy route runner, possibly. Yeah. We might have been fooled a bit.
Yep, absolutely. What else you got, Jerry? Anything else? I'm at the bottom of my list.
I was going to bring Kyren Williams up, but we already talked about him. What about Nico Collins for Houston? He's looked pretty good. He's clearly their one. He has just one touchdown on the year, but over 200 yards receiving already, 13 for 226. Looking pretty good with Stroud.
I'd buy him. I had some exposure to him at the end of last year. He helped buoy my PPR team for sure. He looks the part, big-bodied guy. He looks like a number one. And that offense is feeding a lot of mouths right now. I mean, you could play Dell. You could play Woods. And Nico is at the front of that offense. And that offense could turn into something explosive once Stroud gets his, you know, some more experience, continues to get his feet wet. I like Nico. I believe he went to Michigan. He was a good player there. And, yeah, and just my watching him last year when he was on my roster is kind of a sneaky late-year pickup. He certainly looks the part for sure. And now you got to think his quarterback play is going to continue to improve as the year goes on. Buy him if you have the chance, if you can get him for cheap in a package or something like that.
Stroud had 384 yards and 2 touchdowns this past week.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. I love Stroud. You guys know that. Big Stroud boy. And he looked great last week. He is under duress and pressured more than any quarterback in the league right now. Something like 45% of his dropbacks or something right now are pressured, which is pretty wild. But, I wouldn't call myself a Texans fan, but something started last year where I just kind of rooting for him and really want to see him do well, especially now that they got Stroud. Collins is a very good player, I think. Something about him just screams Kenny Golladay to me. I don't know why. I really don't even have an explanation or a reason to say that, But there's just something about him that screams Kenny Golladay to where I kind of shy away from him. But he is a good player. I mean, you watch him, like Mikey said, he passes the eye test. I don't know what it is. I enjoy the ride with Nico. Yeah, I mean, he's looked awesome.
What would be your guess of where he's at on the year?
Nico Collins? After a game like that, I'm going to say he's wide receiver 7.
Mikey, you got a guess?
I mean, I'm looking at it right now.
So, yeah, he's number 6. Yeah. Number 6 right now.
I almost went 6.
After the big game.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about week 2. You have one big game, you're a top 10 easy, you know. But we'll see how that plays
out.
That's
true. That's true.
And I got no qualms with starting him. I got nothing against Nico. He was supposed to be a big breakout last year, and it just never happened. Obviously, it's some terrible quarterback play. Stroud could easily solve that. I'm a huge Tank Dell guy as well, so I was pumped when the Texans got him. It was somebody Miami was looking at, I think he would have fit in nice there. But I love Tank Dell, and I think Tank can win all over the field. But Nico's looked good. I want to watch some more of his tape, but yeah, I don't know what that Kenny Golladay thing is. It's just always in the back of my mind when I watch him. I'll probably be wrong about that, but you got to speak my mind.
Kenny was good too at one point.
He was.
Might be different if we're talking dynasty though.
Yeah. All right. So that'll close out the stock exchange. So hopefully you took notes and you're hitting the market tomorrow when it opens up and seeing what you can get a hold of, maybe putting some low ball trade offers in and see what you can swindle out of your league mates. So we'll jump into the smashes of the week brought to you by Burger Daddy Food Truck. And once again, Burger Daddy will be at the winery at Wilcox on the 30th. So tell them the champ sent you. Tell them the Funk House sent you. Get a smash burger. Go ahead and get a glass of wine. And enjoy a nice fall day. Hopefully a nice crisp autumn scent in the air. And that sounds like a nice little afternoon. Doesn't it, fellas?
Sounds wonderful. Sounds like a nice little Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing Jerry, him and the family will be at some fall festival on that Saturday. That's just their MO during the fall. And I'm sure you guys will come up with some lovely treats, maybe like an apple dumpling or a pumpkin roll or a hot cider or something like that.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait. Going to stock up this year. Did some recon last year, some different jams and jellies that were good. So
nice jam festival. You can't
beat that. Kingsley's fired up about it.
That's great. All right, we'll get into the smashes. So last week, I did okay. I had Richardson at quarterback, and boy, the day that he could have been in for. Through one quarter of play, 17 fantasy points, 2 rushing touchdowns, 35 rush yards, and something just over 50 passing yards against the Houston defense. It's sad because that could have been a monster day. And never know, I might have been able to pull one out against Uncle Eric if Richardson would have stayed in the game. But of course, everything goes right for Eric, as it always does. And he set the point record for the week so far. And he's just getting started with his ragtag group of nonsense guys, including Nico Collins, which will undoubtedly just set
that's
records
why, that's
all year.
Right. The hesitation comes because of the performance against you.
Even last year, there's a little Golladay bird I see in him. I don't know.
We're not at that segment yet, House. Hold off.
Okay. Smash at running back with Saquon. Kind of a layup. It's the early weeks. We're going to see how it goes. Saquon with 26, something like that. But unfortunately,
seeing a pattern here, though.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he's been rolled out, and Quan will not play tomorrow against the Niners. Probably a good game for him to sit. That could be a bloodbath. So we'll see if it's Breida or the rookie Eric Gray going to get the nod there. So nice one for Breida. Ridley, you know how I feel about Ridley. Thought that was going to be a monster game against KC. Always those games that tease the highest point total of the week always disappoint. and Ridley came away with 5 points, left briefly with an injury, seems to be fine, and just had a ton of defensive attention. So not a great week. And then I finished out with a revenge game, Mike Gesicki against the Miami Dolphins. He went 5 for 33. So actually a solid day for him, and especially at the tight end position. Can't necessarily give myself a smash for that. So I am going to take a 1 out of 4 here, and could have easily been, you know, 2 there with Richardson. Jerry, who'd you have?
Yeah,
last
that
week?
One, I almost feel like you should get an honorable mention for Richardson, because he was on pace for an absolute crazy day. I had Burrow. Was hoping for the turnaround. He ended with right around 20 fantasy points that all basically came in the second half. He had 2 touchdowns. I wouldn't say it wasn't a smash. And of course, you know, he had the reaggravation of the calf, gigantic concern. There's a possibility of him going on the IR. A lot of concern there for me. I have him in half my leagues, so major concern.
Yep, same here.
Running back, I had Rachaad White. Reached here, and it paid off. He was running back 8 on the week. He had 17 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown, plus 5 catches for 30 yards. Nice little day for him. I was hoping for that bounce back. Wide receiver, I had Chris Olave. He did not have a big day. He ended up outside the top 25 this week. It was a much tighter contest, I think, than most of us expected against the Panthers. It was a pretty ugly game from both teams. He had 11 targets. He turned that into 6 for 86. Not a terrible day, but not a smash. And at tight end, I had Laporta. Laporta Potty ended up at number 8 on the week for tight end. So solid outing again for him, 5 for 63. He had 11 points. So double-digit points from your tight end will get you number 8.
It'll get you
a
smash.
That's a good sign of consistency. That's back of 5 catches.
Hell yeah. Very pro Laporta Potty Pod. Alliteration aside here, some nice smash picks. And we're going to get into smash picks for week 3 here. So, Mikey, why don't you do us the honor? Start us off at quarterback. Who you smashing? And let us know why.
All right, these two 0-2 teams here, underachieving so far, two teams that just love the artificial turf. I talked a little bit on the pod last night at the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome. You can get your tickets for $65 to watch Kirk Cousins throw all over the Los Angeles Chargers, who have given up, guys, and this is concerning, 666 yards passing on the season so far. That's worst in the league. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you what that number, 666, means. It means the devil, and the devil is never good. So smash Kirk this week.
You know, this has the makings of Jacksonville KC last week. So, if you're a betting man, watch those point totals, and hopefully I'm looking forward to this one, Mike. I think, you know, why wouldn't it have a million points? So I love it. Obviously, you know, I love Kirk, and I got a lot of pass catchers on the Vikings and, you know, the Chargers here. So very nice selection. Jerry?
I'm going to take Tua. They play Denver this week. Denver's defense has not looked good. They've looked bad for the first time in recent memory, and it's actually the offense that's been keeping them in the games. Well, they play the best offense in the league this week, in my opinion, so I think Tua's going to have a nice little day. This is not an RJ to try and get a Broncos a win.
Yeah.
I just don't think Denver can handle Miami's speed. And Tua won't have to do much other than hit his speedy guys on a little slant route, and they're going to run past these stupid idiots in orange jerseys and take it to the house.
I got my eye on you, Jerry. I see your games. I see it. It's going to be very entertaining, like we said, to watch PS2 play against Tyreek, one of the best young corners, an easy top 5, probably top 3 corner in the league. I love Sertan. You know, his dad played for the Dolphins for several years, one of my favorite players growing up. one of my first memories of, you know, him and Sam Madison in the secondary for Miami. They were absolute studs. So, love PS2 there. And it's going to be a fun game. Peyton with the Miami connection and all that. I'm worried about Waddle with the concussion. So, that's going to be a big factor in this game, I think. And revenge game for Chubb. That's another interesting storyline, too. Just realize that.
So, yeah.
Really looking forward to that. And I did get Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV. I will say I enjoy it very much and much better than DirecTV's version in past years. So looking forward to having the big screen on that game for its entirety. Quarterback, I'm going to just throw shit at the wall here and see what sticks. This guy sucks. I think he's not good at football anymore. I think that he's the most overpaid professional athlete there is. But if you can't do it against Tennessee, then you really can't do it. And it's Deshaun Watson. And if he has struggles this game, the Browns might want to call Tampa Bay and see what they want back for Baker. Because Watson has looked so bad. And you just lost Chubb. We'll see how it goes. Jerry Ford against the pass funnel defense of Tennessee. The best run defense in the league for a couple years now. It's a scary start for Ford. Watson better be throwing it around the yard. And again, if he can't get it done, I think I've lost all hope in this guy. Going to switch it around to running back right here. And a guy that I can't get enough of. I have him in several leagues. I can't speak his name positively enough. He's looked awesome. The Seahawks, they came in. They beat the Living Room Lions in overtime last week. And Geno righted the ship. And K9 had two tutties. And I think that he goes over 100 yards on the ground this week for the first time. K9 lights it up.
I'm going to take a guy at running back that we talked about earlier, Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't think Montgomery, they're still acting like there's a possibility he's going to play. I don't see that happening. I mean, from his mouth, he said it's going to take him some time to recover. The coach had a different idea. Sounded like he thought he could be back quicker. So we'll see what happens there. But Gibbs is going to be the guy this week. I think he has a pretty good day. And they play Atlanta. They're not the best defense. I think he's going to find the end zone and showcase his skills a little bit more. This guy is quick and explosive. He's going to have one big breakout run. Get the Lions fans excited.
Yeah, Jerry, I was anticipating one of you two taking Gibbs or wanting to take Gibbs, so I didn't touch him because I know we're all big Lions fans here. I think we're all big Gibbleavers, if you want to say that. I'm going to take also a guy we talked about earlier in the show, and that is Jalen Warren. It's his time.
Oh, here it is.
He's going to finally supplant Najee Harris in the backfield. Well, maybe not supplant, but he's going to get more opportunities. Some of the few positive plays that offense had, other than the broken Pickens touchdown catch, were nice little dump offs to Warren, who fought for extra yards, got one of their few first downs in the game. He's actually a top 30 running back in PPR so far, so you're already looking at a borderline RB2. Guys, go ahead and roll him out. I don't think they could ignore what he brings to the offense, which, I mean, at this point, it's all relative. The offense is putrid. But I think Max Crosby is going to spend a lot of time in that backfield in Vegas. So look for Pickett to be a little panicky, a little happy. He's going to be looking to get rid of that ball quickly. And Jalen Warren is going to be the beneficiary of some catches and runs out of the backfield. He can also run it. He had a few big runs last year and in the preseason, explosive runs, and I just think it's time they got to mix him in more and get him more touches to smash him.
All right. Jalen Warren Buffett. Mike, jump back in with a wide receiver. You're muted.
Oops. Yeah, I was going to go Chris Olave on this one, guys. Actually, you know what? You smash him. Also smash Rashid Shaheed. I think their running back situation, Williams is banged up. Kamara's out a week. They're going to have to pass it. Carr likes to chuck it. Why don't you go ahead and pencil me down for Rashid Shahid as a smash. I think he got double digits in PPR without a touchdown. I think he went 6 for 40, had another big catch as well in that Monday night game. I think he's going to get some opportunities, not only catching the ball, but running the ball on some gimmicky plays this week. So smash Shahid. And yeah, you can probably roll out Olave with confidence as well.
Yeah, I really like what I've seen from Shahid. I know you're a big Shahid guy, Mike. He looks awesome, super quick. And Carr's got a really nice little receiving core here with Olave, Shahid, and M-Tom looked really, really good Monday, I will say. So that's kind of a scary offense that they can put it together. They really struggled against Carolina, which I mean, Burns is a freak and just an animal, but he's just one guy. So I don't know how they struggle so much, but new guy, new team. So I love that pick. Jerry, who you had at receiver?
I'm going to take CD. He had a huge game this past week, but he didn't find the end zone. They played the Cardinals this week, so I think it should be a cakewalk, but we know how games like that go. Somehow they end up being tight. He's not going to have 13 targets like he did last week, I don't think. But I think he's going to find the end zone and still have a nice solid stat line. Give me CD.
All right.
Tight end?
Okay. I didn't get receiver yet.
Oh, so my bad.
Receiver jumping for me ahead. Is an old guy, and he's just been getting it done. We talked about him earlier. He's looked so good. You know, people thought him as a slot only, and this is his, I want to say, 10th, 11th year in the league, and a favorite for, you know, the Funk House here. Big baggy sleeves guy. So baggy sleeves, Keenan Allen, been doing it forever. Going to continue to do it against this lowly Vikings secondary in a shootout, hopefully. And I think Baggy will, oh boy, I'm going to say 8 catches and a touchdown. Yardage, it hasn't quite, come to me yet. But at least 8 catches and definitely a touchdown. Baggy gets it done. And hopefully that's a shootout. And then I'll turn this around quick. Tight end, a guy that's been rocketing up my boards. And I think a lot of other people have taken notice as well. But he was kind of a darling 4 or 5 years ago at tight end with the Chargers, and everybody thought he was the white Antonio Gates. But Mac Jones sure likes to throw to him, and it's Hunter Henry, and he's looked awesome and their biggest playmaker on offense, bar none, because Ramondre hasn't really looked the part quite yet. Really impressed with Hunter Henry. Really, really impressed with Hunter Henry so far. So, beat the drum there, and I think Henry scores and has at least 5 catches. Jerry.
Yeah, I think Henry looks awesome. If he's out on your waiver wires, I'd be going to snag him up. For tight end, I went with Goddard. He hasn't done anything this season yet. 0 catches week 1. He did have 6 catches last week, but only 22 yards. So I just feel like he's due for a solid day and finding the end zone.
Yeah. Mikey?
Thanks for reminding me about that, Jerry. I thought I had a solid tight end, and he has not proven that so far for me in Dub League for sure. I'm going with Kate Otten on Monday night against Ooh. The Eagles, who have given up some yards. Yeah, I got to reach. I'm the supposed tight end guru here, so you I really got to prove my worth. Avonte Maddox, I believe, is out for the season, which is a big loss for their secondary.
Yep.
I think Baker is competent. I know you guys are believers in him. I think he's going to be feeling some heat from that Eagles front. He's going to be looking for his security blanket. So look for, half a dozen catches and maybe a touchdown from Cade on Monday night against the Eagles at home in that hot, hot, humid Tampa Bay weather. Take those Florida teams in September if you can, guys, because it's not good for the visiting teams. The Eagles are going to be feeling it and have some injuries. So, Otten all the way.
Yeah, muggy night at Raymond James. That's going to be very interesting here. So, very nice, Mikey. You are the tight end guru. There's no getting around it. Kate Otten, boy, we're going to be laughing next week when he scores 2 touchdowns because he's a good player. I mean, everybody, I thought he was a little darling last year just because of Tom Brady. But Baker, he likes his tight ends too. So Love it. Those smashes, all of us will be 4 for 4 next week, as always. And we'll get into the last segment, which is still, the name is TBD. We're workshopping it. You know, when we know it, we'll know it. So we're not going to rush the process. But Mikey, you're the guest tonight. Tell me what pissed you off the most about last week. Do not hold back.
Yeah, my gears have been ground, guys. And, you know, I don't want to come off as like this is something that pisses me off. So I think we got to look at this segment a little bit differently, because it's, you know, it's not healthy being angry all the time. You know,
that's fair.
Really, what made my gears turn, therefore kind of left them a little grounded, if you're, you know, a little worn, decimal points, guys. I don't like them in real life. I voted against it in fantasy. Now, again, I'm not mad about it. It is what it is. You know, I don't think it's going to affect results too much. It's just, I have a problem, guys. I get addicted to things. I get hooked on things. I already spend all Sunday on my phone. This has thrown me for a loop. Now I have to pay attention to every yard gain. I started off last week in the negative somehow. It's just that another thing that caused me to just be fixated on the games and the points all day long, even more so than I was. Decimal points really made my brain rack last week. Therefore, my gears were a little bit extra grounded.
You might want to get your file out and kind of tighten up the edges. Maybe take the burrs off of those gears, Mike, because they sound ground real thin. And I couldn't feel the opposite. I couldn't feel more of the opposite. And I love the decimal points. It's very exact. I hate the tie. Ties are funny unless you're involved in them. I absolutely love a tie unless I'm involved. But the negative yardage thing, I get that. So everybody's got their little thing. Jerry, I'm going to save you for last this week. I have a kind of dual citizenship here with the things that ground my gears. And I needed to give two tonight. And the first one is the fucking Tennessee Titans just won't go away. Like, what the hell? Everybody thought they were going to be so bad. Henry's going to be terrible. Tannehill's going to be terrible. And they don't look very good. But God damn it if Mike Vrabel doesn't just come in and be like, no, we're going to compete for this division. Don't worry about it. Jacksonville, you're not running away with anything. And still having the best rush defense in the league. And Jesus Christ, just go away or change the team. You're so boring. Treylon Burks, let a guy play. Nuke Hopkins. I think I'm kind of done with you as well. I don't know. It's boring. Spears taking Henry off the field and still not even getting really into the statistical column. I'm done with the Titans. They're going to be around. I better get used to it. But, man, I want to see something different in this team. It's been the same team since 2008. I'm so sick of it. Whatever. Done with the Titans. And the second thing that really pisses me off, just the concussions. I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. But, man, Anthony Richardson, Waddle, several other guys that were checked for a concussion that came back. I think DK went out to get checked for a concussion at one point. God, it sucks so bad. There's just no way around it. You know, these guys, they go down, they get hit. They need that little fall jacket that I sent you and Len on Instagram there, Jerry, so it can sense if you're falling for old people and it cradles their head so they don't hit the ground. Tua certainly needs that in his jiu-jitsu class, but I'm so over the concussions. But if I had to choose, I'd rather the Titans just blow the team up and show us something new, because that's just so fucking boring at this point. All right, I'm off the soapbox. Jerry, what pisses KJ off the most? You doing the pod?
She obviously had something to talk about. Just won't stop blabbing in the background here. So apologies to the listeners there.
Oh, they
but
love
I
it.
Have one.
They love it.
That really, Mike, there's no gears left at this point. The Broncos leading the game at halftime and then losing. The Broncos have lost 9 straight games in which they led at halftime. This is the all-time NFL record. It's extremely debilitating as a fan to watch this every week. you sit on false hope and this false sense of security. Oh, we're up at halftime. You know, 90% of the time that team wins. No, not with them. This is excruciating. Peyton and Russell, figure it out. Figure out how to close a game. This is ridiculous.
That's a great stat. That's not a great stat if you're a Broncos fan, but it's very interesting. That's not good.
That's frustrating. Not
good, Jerry.
You better
help. I have one more house if you don't mind.
We got the time.
Listen, it's week two. Just because you scored over 200 points in a super flex league doesn't mean your team is shit, okay? So get off your high horse.
Eric.
It's 2 weeks. You can't draw any inferences about how good your team is. You scored less than 100 points the week before just because you tried to sell all your players. You're panicking, freaking out about how bad your team is. Listen, just because you had one good week don't mean shit. So settle the fuck down.
All right. That's all. Uncle Eric, you heard him, and I second that. And give it up with the RJs, man. I'll tell you. That one on Brian for Jerome Ford, it was lethal. It'll prove victorious. And it makes me not want to come into the chat. And I enjoy the chat so much. But, man, I'm so done with that, Eric. It's not just you, but you're just such a plain example of that. And I know you're listening.
And show up to the family holiday parties. I'm tired of entertaining your parents and you're not there.
And bring a good appetizer. Jesus Christ. All right. That'll close out the Funk House for today. Week two is behind us. Let's jump into week three here. And, you know, let's get some W's. Hopefully, you know, we can collect those and have a better week two. And injuries, add that to the list of ground down gears. I'd love to be done with those. Shout out to Nick Chubb, hoping for a speedy recovery. For the boss man, Mikey Whitesnake, and Jerry Two Chains, and obviously KJ, I am Matty Funkhauser. We will see you next week. Good luck this week.
Thanks.